Good morning. This is Evelyn Velez, and this is the Senior Citizens Engagement Committee. It is October 17th at 9:30, and we are beginning the meeting. I do not have somebody scheduled for this month for the Pledge of Allegiance. Could I have a volunteer?
Do it.
Oh.
Please stand. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic
for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it that you are ready at the drop of a hat, Tony. Introductions. We have our speakers are our guests today, and so I would like to go through and introduce them individually. Our presentation today is about the community centers. We wanted to get some information on how they're doing post/mid-pandemic. We want to find out a little bit about what programs they are offering to close the digital divide and what services they would need. And we're also asking them to respond to questions about elder abuse. So first up, I don't know if either of you are dying to volunteer here.
I can go first.
Alexis. Okay. Thank you, Alexis.
Can I interrupt really quick? Can we do a quick roll call? We move on to presentations?
Sure.
Okay. Tony Elevato.
I'm here.
Elizabeth Busick, present. Carol Downey.
Here.
Scott Fagg. Elaine Genoway. Sherry Horn.
Here.
Carolyn Inman. Jim Levy. John Pointer.
Here, Elizabeth.
Tony Rodella.
Hurrah.
Dave Tetzloff.
Here.
Evelyn Velez.
Present.
And Paolo Morales. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anything else I've forgotten, Desiree? No. Okay, well, Alexis, is it Corral or Coral?
Corral.
Alexis Corral is been in the field of recreation for about 7 years, and she's currently working for the city of Cypress as a recreation coordinator for the senior center. She's been there for almost a year. Before working with Cypress, she worked for the city of Santa Ana, overseeing a community center and its programs. And thank you so much, Alexis.
Thank you for having me.
If everybody else would please mute.
A little background or a little introduction? What did you?
Why don't you start by telling us about your community center, how you were doing post-pandemic? What's different?
Okay. Well, I work at the senior center, actually. So we post-pandemic, we pretty much are in full service. Our numbers are still climbing due to the pandemic. We opened up fully as of January of this year, like mid-January, bringing back indoor programming. We do still offer a couple of outdoor programs for those who were still uncomfortable with coming back into the center to teach their classes. But we offer dining services Monday through Thursday. So I would say that we're pretty much like 85% operable, and we're just increasing our numbers day to day. You're still on mute, Evelyn.
Anything you've experienced that has been particularly difficult to adjust to?
I think just trying to get consistent with our numbers again, getting our attendance back with our programming the way it used to be post-pandemic. I still feel when people call and inquire about different programs that we have, they also ask if we have any COVID restrictions or, I'm still not comfortable coming back without any masks on, things of that nature. So we do get a lot of questions with that, but again, the city doesn't have any COVID restrictions anymore, but people are more than welcome to still wear their masks, whatever they're comfortable with. We do get a little bit of pushback because we don't do the social distancing anymore. So there's some people, who are hesitant to come back due to that, but I would say that would be the only challenge, and maybe bringing back new programming. Again, it's just with the comfort level. So again, trying to find instructors to do other programs, and just, again, we still get questions with the COVID. So that's still a little bit of a barrier, but it's coming along.
Okay, great. Do you have any Zoom or non-contact kind of events?
Not anymore. We used to offer like a Zoom, like a Zumba online, but we try to get away from that just because the city is moving in the direction of where we no longer have the restrictions. We want to try to get people back in person. So that's what we're doing as of right now. So no virtual anymore.
Okay. Thank you. How about your computer resources? Do you have computers available at the center? Do you offer any tech classes about smartphones or computer use or even computer safety?
So we have a computer lab. We have about 8 computers, and it's open during business hours. We allow people to use that freely, and they can just come in and surf the web or use it for whatever purposes they need. We don't specifically offer any tech classes on a consistent basis. We've tried to look for instructors, but it's hard to keep someone permanent who does that on a regular basis. So we haven't found anyone consistent, but we do have high school students, either a club or a group of students who come and volunteer. We had it over the summer for about a week, and that was pretty heavily attended. I believe we were basically maxed out when it came to tech classes. We're going to see if we can offer that like during the school year when high school students have breaks, but it's hard to consistently get someone to do that service. We've tried to get staff, but again, with staffing too, it's hard to dedicate somebody specifically just for computer tech classes. So that's still a work in progress, at least for our center.
Okay. And what policies or programs do you think would help close the digital divide in your community? How many, do you have any idea for the number of participants compared to the total senior population that has access to computers?
Well, so I feel like it's a little hard to say because a lot of the seniors that we service, they do have like an email, but they still prefer the paper hard copy of things. So we try our best to do both. We try to encourage them to do things over the computer through email registration, things of that nature, all digitally or all on the computer so that they can hopefully transition into that. But we still provide that paper service for comfort. Our thought process was possibly since, it's going to be like baby boomers are kind of already used to the phone or, a little more familiar with it. So hopefully as time goes on, we won't have that digital divide just because people are going to be more aware of it. There may be, people who still may need assistance, but for the most part, they'll be a little more familiar. So we're still kind of trailing along slowly but surely, just trying to help people. And then even just showing them, because we have a newsletter that we have here, but I also, just to show you guys, like we have like the QR code. So we're trying a little bit, just trying to like expose people to things. Some of them are like, no, I'm so resistant, I don't want to try, but some people are willing. So we're trying.
Okay, great. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions right now for Alexis? We can always wait. Okay. Thank you. Chewy. Chewy is Community Services Coordinator for the City of Mission Viejo. Thank you, Chewy.
Thank you guys for having me. Good morning. I am a coordinator at the Norman P. Murray Center. So it's Community Senior Center / Community Center. So we really like to open up a wide range of open doors and age ranges here. So we love to really encourage that to everybody so they don't feel discouraged with certain programming. But we really do offer a variety of programming in which it's like social educational, health and fitness. We have music, dance, gardening, food services, transportation services. Aside from transportation services, we provide transportation related classes like DNV, AARP classes. So those are really, really popular just to encourage our senior citizens to maintain that safety when driving and having to renew licenses. Veteran services, and then we also have a lot of special services, which is events. Coming into this environment, I've only been here 6 months and I am absolutely loving it. And I think what I'm enjoying the most is just trying to bring more of like that social programs into this, like events and dances and social. So that's been really, really great just to be part of this new facility here at the Norman P. Murray Center. And in regards to the questions that, you know, Evelyn was asking earlier, so if we've seen anything in regards to pre-pandemic to now, so unfortunately I don't have anything that I can say off of top of my head that I've seen the differences, but based on stats that we worked on, we and information that I'm aware of is that we did, like everybody else, it went on full closure pre-pandemic, during the pandemic. So now we are 100% full on services, so we don't have any like limitations. Everything is in person. We do offer some Zoom classes, online classes, but a lot of them are optional. For example, one of our popular classes is our gardening classes. So they offer it on Thursday in person, and they offer the exact same class on Friday online for those that still want to take it online. So I do like that choice and still being able to offer online classes, but we do love just having them in person. I think that we're getting a lot of great feedback, and the numbers just speaking for itself of how many people show up to in-person classes. It's just amazing to see that we are full on. And I do hear from other cities and other places and other jobs how they're still limited. And I came from Irvine. We were still like slowly like limited. And it feels really great to say that we are full on back to normal services here in Mission Viejo. And it's just really great just to know that and be able to share what we're doing with other cities so that we can encourage them and help them, guide them through that full service operations. We do not have computers available at our site. So we don't have any computer labs or computers for our patrons to utilize, but we do offer a lot of tech classes. So we have really, really, really upped our numbers for our tech classes. So we have a lot of like Androids for beginners, cutting the cable, smartphone advanced, Amazon Prime Explain. So that explains to people how to like utilize Amazon Prime and how to like cut that, because a lot of people, we really, you know, we've been doing online shopping, and I think it's a really great and unique class to really offer. We have computer skills 101, cell phone, and this is a new one that we brought on. We have 101 appointments with cell phone and training, tablet training. So they schedule an appointment with a specialized technician that we have here on site, and people come with their questions or any concerns that they have, and they utilize that time one-on-one to say, hey, can you help me? Can you show me how to use this? And I am really ecstatic about that, because it's been something that we've been noticing, people just coming to our center, be like, hey, can you help me? Like my email, I can't locate it. And we really wish that we had the time to be able to provide with that one-on-one service, but it's just like we're running around crazy, staff will step in when they could. So the fact that we have that to offer now, it's just really amazing, and it's only the beginning. So hopefully the word of mouth will get people, they will know about it and take advantage of those one-on-one appointments with our technician here on site. And I know that Evelyn, you did ask another question regarding to what policies or programs do you, what we would like to help to close the digital divide. As for us in particular, or me in specific, I think that just, you know, that one-on-one support is just one, just kind of really echoing on that, like that one-on-one support is really, really important to me to really like teach, not just show them like, here, let me do it for you. It's teaching everybody how to like utilize technology, utilize tablets and utilize their cell phone, continuing in-person and online classes. So even though we are full on, I really do love offering online options for those that either still feel uncomfortable coming on site, but then they're also keeping that Zoom and how to utilize your computer and tablet in order to maintain taking classes. So when you stop doing something, you kind of lose that practice. Like even for me, when I stopped doing Zoom, it's like, wait, how do you do this again? You know what I mean? So if like, if we continue that, then they'll continue practicing and just be really good at utilizing it. And lastly, there are some services that are only online. So what I did on my side, I did it kind of like a cheat sheet. I did screenshots of like where to follow the website. You click on this link and then you go here. So simple things on how to reserve a bocce court. It's only online. We are unable to do that for them. So a lot of them do struggle and like, I don't know how to do it. I have an account, but I don't know how to do it. So I did like little step-by-steps, like go on here. I screenshot it so they get a visual. So just things like that, that we can do on our end to really like really close a digital divide between technology and those who are not used to it. It's a big challenge and I think it's going to take time. And now that everything's just becoming more online, more technology everywhere, not just within our services, but in general in the world, I think that every little bit help that we can give is really going to just make a big difference. And as in regards to any physical, financial, emotional, elder abuse classes or programming that we offer here at our site for our seniors and elderly, we do offer, I mean, besides for like our physical, meaning like continuing our fitness classes, but not just fitness. I think that we offer a lot of like balance and mobility, a matter of balance. So it's a lot of like fall prevention classes that we really want to continue. So it's not just like health and fitness, but it's really like how to maintain a balance to avoid fall prevention, avoid getting injured and avoid any issues before we even hit there. So it's just really, really great that we're able to offer that. As in for financial, we do offer a couple of financial educational classes. So like It's Your Money series, it's like an educational classes that really does try and advise our seniors on how to utilize their money and like how to like fix income investments, mutual funds, long-term care with insurances. We also do have a lot of classes that are coming up that I just program on how to like be able to identify fraud or how to be careful with the brokers and, you know, knowing when to see the red flags. Because as you know, it's out there in the world of like people really like hacking people and then they take advantage of senior citizens, especially. So I think that that's a really important class that we do need to bring on to alert our community in general, not just our senior services, but the community on being aware of those red flags. And as for emotional, we do have a lot of health and relationship boundary classes. We have like the South OC Parkinson support group. That's a new one that just came on. So just being able to like provide them an area and a support group where they can come and learn from one another. We have caring for emotional well-being, caring conversations. So a lot of it is, you know, it's just both physical and mental support that we want to offer more classes or clubs or support groups in order to keep everyone safe. And let me know if I missed anything.
Yeah, thank you, Chewy. And I forgot to ask Alexis also about the elder abuse. Do you have, I know like when I go to Kaiser, I go to the restroom and they have a little discreet sign, are you being abused? If you are, you know, this is what you can do. So we were just wondering if you had any kind of brochures, any information out and available, if you had counseling for anybody that was having concerns about their grandchildren or their children misusing their money, anything like that. Alexis.
Well, we, not specifically, we don't have anything, you know, but if they need assistance, you know, to call here, but we, at our front counter, like people will just come up and say, like, I'm searching for this kind of service. We don't have like a social worker or anything like that on site. You know, like some senior centers do offer some kind of like a social services aspect. We specifically don't, but we do offer, you know, you guys are more than welcome to call 211 if you have some kind of assistance. Just because they're maybe a little more knowledgeable on how to guide somebody. We do direct people also to, we have a good relationship with our police department. So if we see anything, we either direct it towards them or we let them know like, hey, we've noticed maybe this, but specific to link people to services, we don't have that. And I mean, which we should, just because, you know, if, again, maybe people are not as open to, you know, voice their issues, or if they have any, you know, concerns or somewhere where they may want to look for emergency services discreetly. We don't have anything like that. That just has like a number posted for somebody at the moment.
Okay.
Let's see. Physical, financial, emotional. Yeah, I would say that that's across the board for all of the, like, I mean, physical, we do offer like the health and wellness classes and like prevention or presentations on how to avoid things like that. But no direct services either for financial or emotional. We have like high cap services and legal aid, but those are just like advisory, not necessarily, you know, there's limitations on what people can assist with those programs.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's hear from Mariana and then maybe we can have some more questions. Mariana Pena has been in the field of parks and community services for the past 15 years. She oversees the City of Costa Mesa Senior Center and was part of the transition team that turned the senior center from a nonprofit to a city operated facility 8 years ago. Hi, Mariana. Thank you for participating.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So can everyone see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. So yes, thank you for having me. My name is Mariana Pena. As you all know, I oversee the Costa Mesa Senior Center. And here's my lovely staff. One of the hurdles from COVID to non-COVID is staff. I think every city has that issue right now. Not enough people are applying these days. We have a lot of programs, so we are a small and mighty staff. We're getting the job done, but these are all of my lovely staff members. So during the pandemic, we did start a new program. It did get phased out when we came back more in person. We started the frozen meal home delivery program. So the congregant lunch program, we partner with Meals on Wheels. They provided a hot lunch Monday through Friday. And when the pandemic hit, that got converted into frozen meals. So, you know, especially at the beginning when no one knew what was really going on and, you know, it was just really scary. A lot of our seniors who are able-bodied, they were sheltering in place. So to address that, we started the frozen meal home delivery program. So we were delivering meals to close to 100. At one point. So it was a lot of staff effort to do this. We had to do the routing, the registration, and also delivery and packing. So it was a very large operation, but you know, I was really happy that we were able to get that out to the seniors, especially, you know, they needed food. So we were able to provide that. Also the senior grocery program, that was converted into a drive-thru service, which prior it was in person, indoors, and it was more like farmer market where you kind of like go through the line and pick what you want. So during the pandemic, Second Harvest converted everything into boxes. So that's the photo here. They would park, we would put it in their box or in their car, and then they would be on their way. So, you know, we were able to do that as well. Another program that we started was the wellness calls. So at the very start of the pandemic, we called all 3,000 of our members just to let them know that we were closing, since it was kind of like, I think it was a Friday, we had to let everyone know we were closing shop for the next week, for 2 weeks, but it turned into a couple months. So that wellness call started during that time. Also social services, that continued. However, from it being in person, It went to over the phone services only to provide resources and whatnot for our seniors and over the phone counseling. Shiru Modi, she was our community outreach worker, but she was a licensed clinical social worker. She was doing that from home and she did recently retire. So I have another slide regarding our new social worker. We did a lot of outreach during the pandemic just to make sure that seniors knew that we were here. So we created a postcard, you know, and each of the staff, we all wrote notes. We also had some volunteers write some notes for them and we just mailed them out and had them available. We also had our community partners, Trellis. They work with several nonprofits and church groups in the city. They took a bunch of these and passed them out throughout the community as well, just so, again, so everyone knew that we were still open and to give us a call so they knew what we had, what services we had. Meals on Wheels. So as I mentioned, we had the Congregate Lunch Program Monday through Friday, and it did get converted into frozen meal distribution during COVID. In-person Congregate Lunch Program will return in December. So I'm really excited. That was one of our, you know, a great way for our seniors to socialize and to have a hot meal. So we're gonna be bringing that back in December. Meals on Wheels, they had some, they had to take some time just to, you know, again, everyone's kind of short on staff. So they had to do a big staff recruitment. So they're finally staffed and ready to go. We've been ready to go. So we're really excited to bring that back in December. Fitness for Life. So this is a staff-led program. And includes chair exercise, moving to music, and some other programs. So the picture on the left, that was before COVID. The picture on the right, that's one of my staff members, Christina. She does a chair exercise. So that got converted into virtual. We don't have any virtual classes as of right now. I believe only one, but that's through a healthcare organization. To be honest, all virtual events, they are not really attended by our seniors. They have made it loud and clear that they are over being virtual. They want to be in person. And so a lot of our groups, we're probably back to having like 90% of our classes back. You know, some classes did, or some classes or groups did phase out. A lot of our seniors did move out of the state to move with children or move closer with their families in other cities. So there were some groups that got phased out, but a lot of the groups that were still, you know, around, they did come back in person. So yeah, we tried to do a couple of things virtually just to see, you know, what, if seniors would attend. We had maybe like 3 people attend. And we also did a survey as well. The majority said they wanted to come back. Special events. So during the pandemic, we did socially distance events, which we would do them outside. So instead of having Thanksgiving dinner or lunch, we were doing distribution. So the photo here on the left, we distributed little apple pies to everybody during the lunch program. So that's how we kind of tackled that. We still wanted to, you know, celebrate our holidays with our seniors. So we got creative. Another event we did was we had like hot chocolate and for, what was it? Halloween, we did goodie bags. So we reached out to our community partners to see if they wanted to donate some promotional items, like, you know, like stress balls with their logo on it and whatnot. So they got a bag full of candy and goodies. So they were really excited. This year actually was the first year that we're bringing back all of our events indoors. So the seniors are really happy about that. Our largest event, which is our Knowledge and Health Fair Expo, that returned after almost 3 years. So that photo is from our health fair. We had over 30 vendors come out and over 300 seniors come out for that. So it was very, very well attended. We do tech talks. So we do tech talks on the first and third of the month. So we have our 2 staff members. They meet with our seniors, seniors make appointments. So that's been a really popular program for us. You know, they do have a lot of questions, you know, how to navigate iPhones and Androids. I know for myself, I recently switched to iPhone and I felt like I needed a tech talk. So I'm really happy that we have this service for our seniors. I've had local high schools come out, their key clubs come out to do tech talks as well. Those ones aren't as consistent. It's more like as a when they're available or when they need a special project to do. So it's been fun to have them as well, but we do have our consistent tech talks. I know you had questions about computers. We do have a computer lab. We have about 6 computers where seniors could come in and just freely use the web and check their emails. We do not have a printer in there, but there hasn't been any issues regarding that. But they hardly use it, to be honest. We maybe have about like 1 or 2 seniors in there daily. A lot of them, I noticed they use their phones for everything. So yeah, we have a computer lab as well. Transportation. So during the pandemic, this was another essential service we kept. Unfortunately, like right in May, we got notice from our transportation company that they were going out of business. So we had to do an emergency request for service for to switch over to a taxi program. So we do utilize California Yellow Cab. So seniors age 16 older who reside in the city of Costa Mesa, they're able to take advantage of this program. So they're able to go to different senior mobility program, which is within Costa Mesa. They're able to go shopping, go, go to lunch, go to Target, those kind of services. And then we have our medical transportation program where that goes to surrounding cities for medical appointments. So that's been really popular. Our pre-pandemic, our senior mobility program was the most popular, but now with the taxi service, our medical transportation program is the most utilized, but we are starting to see that our senior mobility program is going up as well. It's all free of charge, which is awesome. So, I'm really glad we're able to offer this service as well. Social services. So as I mentioned earlier, our prior community outreach worker, she did retire. So Lucy, she came from the city of Irvine. She's our new community outreach worker. So she's here Monday through Friday. The role of the community outreach worker is she does one-on-one counseling. She does support groups. She'll be doing some presentations. And, she's a huge, huge asset to our center. We've had issues, before with seniors who may not have the best hygiene or whatnot. So, our social worker, community outreach worker, she's the one that, has been the one to address those issues and provide them resources and, different things, because sometimes they may not have money for, for hygiene items. So also for other things, if we ever have a senior who might be a little hostile or whatnot, the social worker has been really helpful with that. And also, whenever we have any issues that may need APS, Adult Protective Services, the social worker is the one to address. So she does a full intake form to check everything, their needs. So it's a full needs assessment. So she does that with all of her seniors that she meets. So again, it's a really huge asset for us. We're hoping to make her full-time, possibly next year. So right now she's working 30 hours a week. Really excited. Fall has always been our very busy season here at the Senior Center. So this is our full schedule, or with the exception of breakfast with Santa is all on here, but I'm really excited. We're able to bring back all our indoor programming. So we are going to have our Halloween bash on the 26th, which is almost full. We're starting a new event called International Food Fair, which will have different, items from different cultures, and also our Thanksgiving lunch, which will be on the 17th. So, we're really excited. I mean, we're noticing registration is blowing up. So these seniors are just ready to come and celebrate with us. And we're really excited to have all of our members back. I have noticed that we've had a lot more new members with the opening of the center. I work upstairs, but when I'm downstairs assisting the front desk, we get 5 to 10 new members each day. So it's been really, really cool just to see how busy we are. It's really, really busy with a lot of new members. Some of our other members who have been longtime members, a lot of them are homebound now just because of medical and different things. So, but I still, you know, keep in contact and give them wellness calls here and there. But yeah, I think that's all. I'll stop sharing my screen.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I see that John has his hand raised. It's still up, Mariana.
Yeah, I'm turning it. I need a tech talk for this. Okay, got it.
Thank you. John Poynter, you have some questions?
Thank you. The question directed to the three presenters. Do you have any idea what percentage of the senior population in your city participates in the senior centers?
Small.
I'll say very small. In Costa Mesa, there's 160,000 residents and we have about 2,000 members.
In Costa Mesa, you have about 2,000?
Yeah.
And Cypress, do you, Chewy, what about...
I'm a little unsure of our population, but we have about at least 50% of those who attend the senior center are Cypress residents. Others are from the neighboring cities.
Oh, okay.
Do you know? Same here. So I would say maybe for us, maybe like 1,500 are Costa Mesa and 500 are about like Newport Beach. We accept all other cities as well.
Okay. Okay. Chewy, do you know how many people use your senior center?
I don't know the number of population, but I do know the number. Because we just did some stats. So we have a total of 60,187 as in August. We calculated all the classes and numbers of participants coming into our facility and utilizing our programs. And before COVID, it was at 95,000. So we're hoping that we're not even at the full year yet, and we're hoping to really exceed or go back to normal numbers and hitting that, aiming that mark. And our part patrons are Mission Viejo and sister city. So a lot of them Lake Forest, Laguna Hills. So we do get a lot of participants from outside the city. I am happy to see that our numbers are meeting our expectations before COVID.
Okay, so they're climbing.
Yeah.
Alexis, have you noticed?
Our numbers increasing after COVID? Yeah, I'm on the same boat with that one too. Yeah, depending. And we are getting actually new participants because we're getting new senior developments too in the city. So we're also getting participants from that as well, increasing numbers.
Okay. Do you have an idea of how many people you serve though?
Depending on the day, 200 or 300 seniors.
Okay.
We just have certain programming is more heavy on one day than another, but about 200 or 300 daily.
Okay.
Now that's the same for us as well. The 2,000, that's unduplicated member stats. But yeah, we have about 200 daily. 200 to 300, depending on the DS, Alexis said.
Okay.
And ours is not necessarily like a membership base. It's open to the public. So anybody who wants to use a senior center is more than welcome to. And then also like registering for programs. We do have, like if it's a contract class, they pay like non-resident fee. But other than that, like if we have free drop-in programs, it's again, open to anybody. We don't go based off of residency for those that we serve.
Okay. John, did you have any other question there?
No, just a comment.
Okay.
I think the senior centers provide an invaluable service. So I really appreciate your efforts in all three cities. So thank you. I think it would be a much different life for many people if they didn't have access to the senior centers.
Much more isolated.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
Tony Rodella. You're muted, Tony.
Okay, just a clarification on the on our agenda. It says Alexis Correll is from Cyprus. You said you introduced her as from Santa Ana.
I used to work there.
Huh?
I used to work there.
Oh, you're Cyprus.
Currently working in Cyprus. Before Cyprus, I worked in the city of Santa Ana.
Okay, thank you.
I mentioned that one of our goals was closing the digital divide, and I see that you each have some programs. I love that you're doing the one-on-one programs. We have a possibility that there will be another program this year. Dave, do you know? I don't know if you know when or how that might be announced of iPad distributions.
No, there. I know the Office on Aging is applying for an additional grant for more iPads, and we had the distribution of 2,000 within the last during the pandemic. And my question, if there was one, did each of the community senior centers have success with the program? Was there any challenges on that? I know the new grant, it should be coming announced within probably the next month, Desiree, do you think?
I believe Lillian would be able to answer that better.
Okay.
Yeah, they're still reviewing it, and we don't know the announcement date yet, but they're it's coming shortly.
Okay. And it'll be in the same program of distribution as previously?
We were looking at, because of the sunset of the services, like the internet services and stuff like that, we were thinking of piggybacking off of that to extend the services for that. Instead okay. of purchasing more additional iPads, because CDA currently has a program, and we are currently distributing those, so we have a lot available through that program. So we were thinking of getting the new funding sources to pay for internet access and stuff like that. So more news to come on that.
Thank you. So for the speakers, my question is, did you have success with the iPad distribution program, or was there any challenges that you faced with that?
We did. We ran an ad in our newsletter for several months. So I know we forgot what the number was of how many from Costa Mesa, but there were some. I know more recently there were some that said that they called, but it was full already, or there wasn't any available. But there was
it was
successful in Costa Mesa.
Mariana, we still have some for okay. a different program, not with that 2000 one, but okay. we do have some from CDA. So I'd be happy to connect you with somebody to get you the contact information. So give me 1 second. I'll type that in the thing for you.
Okay, thank you.
Or if you can provide me your contact information, I'd be happy for them to reach out to you.
Yeah, I'll email you.
Thank you.
I don't know that we've had, just listening, I'm a little unfamiliar with what you were speaking of, so I don't think that was offered at the Senior Center in Cyprus. I could be misspeaking, but I'm a little, from the time that I've been here, I have not been aware of that.
Yeah, and my apologies the same. I've been here 6 months. So I would be more than happy to respond that. I can definitely find out through my supervisor who's temporarily away on vacation. I can ask her, but I'm pretty sure I would have heard about that just because they did a recap on everything. So I'm pretty sure we probably did not offer that. But I can definitely follow up on that.
Can you ladies also provide me with information? I'd be happy to share the other program with you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Oh, here I am talking to myself.
Just don't answer yourself. That's
any other questions for Chewy, Alexis, or Mariana? Oh, I see you've already posted your email addresses. Thank you. I want to reiterate what John said. Thank you so much for not just participating, but for the programs that you provide. They are a lifeline, literally, for many people. The people who are coming to you are the people who are in the most need. And so thank you for being there throughout the pandemic, as well as before and now, and getting people back into socializing and having an active life. This was informational for us. We wanted to know a little bit about elder abuse and how people were using computers, your perception of it from the community centers. So that's very helpful. Our goal is to, or our task is to propose policies or programs that would help seniors in Orange County. And we do that on an annual basis through the through our committee. So if there's anything else that comes up in the future for you, we would really appreciate hearing from you. And thank you again very much for all you do.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. You are welcome to stay. We are going to have a short program afterwards of our regular business.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let me pull up the agenda.
Evelyn, I believe we missed the AB 361 action item.
I'm looking for my agenda. Where did I put it? Somewhere behind one of these screens. All right, well, let me pull it up again. So what did you think of that little discussion? Ah, there it is. Any comments? I want to thank Elizabeth Busick very much for helping me throw something together. This was the day that we were supposed to be hearing from the Office on Aging. And so it was is a bit of a scramble to try to find somebody who could talk to us. And so thank you, Elizabeth, very much for your help on that.
You're welcome.
Okay, back to an agenda. So AB 361, review and make findings required by government code subsection 54953E3. The recommendation is to continue virtual meetings. Do I have a motion to do so?
I'll move that.
Okay, thank you, Sherry. Do I have a second? Thank you, Elizabeth. Desiree, may I have a vote, please?
Tony Olivato?
Yes.
Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Carol Downey? Scott Feig? Elaine Genoway?
Aye.
Sherry Horn?
Aye.
Jim Levy? John Poynter?
Aye.
Tony Rodella.
Aye.
Dave Tetzlaff.
Aye.
Evelyn Velez.
Yes.
And Paolo Morales. And that is majority chair.
Okay, great. Thank you. Do we need to have another meeting between now and November? How's our schedule there?
I believe there is going to be a need for a quick special meeting from now until prior to the next meeting on the November 21st is our next meeting. So
because that would be 5 weeks. Okay.
Correct. So I'll reach out to you to schedule. I know we have the in-person. We usually will do it prior to the SCAC, but I know that's in-person, so I don't know how that would work. Or we'll schedule it for ahead of another meeting. That's fine too, but I can send you those dates.
Okay. Thank you. Dave, you had your hand up.
I had a question, but then I realized we do have a meeting within the next 30 days. So disregard my hand raising.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And Tony, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I have a question. Are there any plans for the general SCAC meeting or the subcommittees to ever meet again in person? Or is this just the permanent condition since most other places have gone back to, in-person meetings?
I can answer what I think I've heard, but Elaine is here, so why should I?
You'd like me to weigh in on that. The November SCAC meeting will be in person. Our goal is to get back to in-person for the full SCAC. The standing committees, the input we've received is the members prefer to do those via Zoom, and then they can see each other at the monthly SCAC meeting. But also it depends on how long the governor, how long the state of the emergency exists, because even if we wanted to continue like this forever, we could not. So it's only during while the governor has the state of emergency.
Okay. So SCAC is going to meet in person then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and our meeting will be a week earlier because of the Veterans Day holiday. So the November SCAC meeting is on November 4th.
With lunch included.
Mm-hmm. Our traditional holiday lunch in Laguna Niguel.
Okay, thank you. Dave, Digital Divide Subcommittee, I just kind of wanted to ask you, what did you sort of gather from these three speakers? Not to put you on the spot, sorry.
I think it wasn't until the end that we really got an answer on that. And to a certain point, I was dissatisfied, disappointed that they didn't know much about it. But of course, two out of the three are new to this, and that program started probably 18 months ago. So I can understand the lack of knowledge of how successful it was. We know that the program itself was quite successful. All 2,000 were distributed. We did receive a copy of the distribution by zip code, and most of Orange County has taken advantage of the program. And of course, on a statewide basis, our program is quite successful, I think, to many of the others. And I think that's why they are receiving the additional funding. And I know they look to Orange County for the success of the program. So I congratulate the Office on Aging on the success of the program for the original ones. And the tech committee is kind of on hold until such time Office on Aging has a new director and we start to gather more information on the new grant with AT&T, so forth.
Okay. Yeah, my thought was that it would have maybe been better to have a little bit more communication with the community centers in terms of the ones that offered the tech talks, and the one-on-one, so that mm-hmm. the people who got the the iPads, had known that they could actually go to the community center, that they could make a one-on-one appointment, that there could be some additional assistance for helping them start to use it. I thought,
I saw more more promotion of it through the Board of Supervisors than I think I did through the community senior centers. Of course, yeah. I'm just familiar with Mission Viejo, but I think the Board of Supervisors took great advantage in the promotion of that. Mm-hmm. Elaine, I thought there was going to be a survey through one of the subcommittees with the success of the program, with a questionnaire going to senior centers. Was that ever accomplished?
I know
through the ambassador program.
Yes, and that did not get completed because around that time is when the one who was handling that left the board. Yeah.
So that was never accomplished.
So what I might suggest is that you connect now. Carolyn Inman has taken on that responsibility. So Dave, maybe if you'd like to work with Carolyn just on maybe two or three questions for the senior centers to gather.
Okay, and Carolyn is on the tech committee, mm-hmm. subcommittee too. So that will work out just perfectly.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Okay, so the same comment kind of applies for elder abuse. I thought that we could. Sorry for the noise in the background.
Sorry. Loading company.
I thought that we could make more of an effort to make information about elder abuse available at senior centers. Again, sort of like what Kaiser does by posting things in the restrooms, but brochures on the services that are available, not just for financial fraud, but for abuse. One of our speakers was saying that most of the financial abuse, well, and other abuse actually comes from children of the elder. And so I think that would be something that we could consider for our recommendation for next year of how we can do better outreach at senior centers. Just a thought.
And may I suggest, I mean, it would be great to kind of package that up and here's a program. What I would suggest is that we, you know, look at the senior centers first and see what they're doing, because they do a lot that we're not aware of. And then also connect with the district attorney's office, because they have a unit for financial fraud for elders.
Yeah. I mean, the information is out there. There are brochures, there are flyers, there are things. It's just a matter of maybe getting the senior centers to distribute them, and maybe to have encourage them in terms of having a speaker that can address some of the issues from time to time, not just of financial abuse, but of the other kind of abuse.
Yeah, no, and I know they do. I know here ours does have those, and I don't know what the other senior centers do, but it would be good to see what are they doing and what do they feel can be done better to get that information out to seniors? And then whatever we send out can be tailored to that.
Yeah.
Okay. I need to say goodbye. I need to get over to our senior center for a meeting right now. So I'll say goodbye. I look forward to seeing you soon. And thank you for all that you're doing.
Bye. Okay. Thank you. Moving on then to legislative tracking. John, I heard your report the other day at the SCAC meeting. Do you want to give us an update?
Well,
oops.
Nothing's changed, John? From what I reported at the meeting. I can repeat that if you'd like, but so there were, as normal, 10 proposals that made the CSL top 10 in 2021. Those bills were subsequently shared with legislators in the January and February 2022 time period, and 8 of those proposals were picked up and became bills in February. 2 of those 8 were basically, I'll use a term, no longer supported by the legislator. Those were both by Assemblymember Vopel. So we were down to 6. 6 of those bills made it to the governor's desk. 3 of those 6 were signed into law. The 3 that were signed into law were AB 2145, Oral Health and Skilled Nursing Facilities. That was Assemblymember Davies, and the CSL member was Carolyn Fowler. AB 2338, Default Hierarchy Surrogate Consent Laws. 46 states have already got a similar law. This was signed by the governor to make it 47. That was submitted by Assemblymember Gibson, and the CSL member was Gene Dorio, who was a practicing physician in the state of California. The last one is AB 2511, Skilled Nursing Facilities, the providing backup electrical supply. Originally, this was authored by Assemblymember Irwin. The CSL member was Mark Cox. The 3 bills that did not make it were AB 2069, submitted by Assemblymember Karen Gorbach, authored by Assemblymember Philip Padua. SB 842, Healthcare Medical Goods. This was authored by Senator Dodd, and CSL member was Yvonne Baginski. And last but not least, AB 2077, Personal Needs Allowance, which again went down in flames. So we did not resubmit AB 2077. We're taking a look at that. The 3 that were vetoed were basically the governor used the, which is interesting, the following statement. The legislature sent measures with potential costs of well over $20 billion. That's a B, boy, $20 billion. In one-time spending commitments and more than $10 billion in ongoing commitments, not accounted for in the state budget. Then provided the statement, bills with significant physical impact, such as this measure, should be considered and accounted for as part of the annual budget. Okay, somebody in the Department of Finance probably wrote that. Each of those were basically saying the costs were not accounted for in the budget, and I don't want to, as the governor, with predicted decline in tax revenues in 2023, I don't want to be held accountable for spending when there is a potential downturn in the revenue that we're going to be anticipating. So, a dark cloud there, in my opinion. We've had surpluses for the last several years. Now all of a sudden somebody's predicting tax revenue that will be going down. Now this is probably the same people that missed in predicting how large the budget surplus was going to be as well. But anyway, that's where we're at, Evelyn. So we had a very good year, in my opinion, in CSL, something we should all be proud of.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, I missed the first one. What was the first one that was approved?
2145, AB 2145, oral health and skilled nursing home. For the first time, dental care will be provided and funded.
Oh, great. Okay. Thank you very much. Now, I want to ask you, next month, you are slated to be our speaker, and this is normally what you would talk about. Do you have an idea of what's on the table for next year that you can discuss?
Next week, we have our annual session, the 25th, 26th, and 27th, and we will have identified the top 10
okay.
legislative proposals for the 2023 legislative session.
So excellent. I'll be
able to share that.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Any questions for John? Thank you, John, as always.
Evelyn, one more observation for you. As Tony Elevato pointed out, there is quite a disparity within the state in terms of what's going on with regards to meetings in a COVID environment. The legislature still does not allow access to the fifth floor, Senate and Assembly chambers. Anybody that wants to participate in a committee hearing goes down to the first floor, and there's a microphone, and you're admitted to one of the meeting rooms on the first floor. And we've anticipated that change, and nothing has occurred so far. And as you may all be aware, there is allegedly a remodel. It's actually a teardown of the annex that is used by a vast number of the legislators for their offices. So they're not touching the Capitol because that's a historical building, but they're tearing down the, again, I refer to it as the annex. It's got every imaginable code violation. So here we have a state facility that doesn't comply with state requirements for ADA. It's got asbestos and, I could go on. So anyway, that has been delayed. Some groups in the Capitol have sued because several trees will be lost in the Capitol Park adjoining the Capitol Square, which is approximately a square mile. So who knows when the construction will actually begin. So what was designed to be completed in 5 years probably is going to take 10. So that then means we're still not sure what kind of access one will have to the Capitol in 2023, regardless of whether there is a pandemic still going on or not. So anyway,
okay.
That's the issue facing the CSL at this point.
Okay, well, you'll just have to take a megaphone and yell from the parking lot.
Or continue to try and do business virtually, which the legislature's gotten very good at.
Okay, let's move on to announcements and roundtable discussion. Any announcements? Yes, Tony.
I don't have an announcement. I just had a question for Desiree. Have you received my ethics certificate?
I have received it. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Okay. All right. Well, thank you. The last item on our agenda is public matters. At this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction. Desiree, do we have any members of the public?
We did not receive any requests to speak in advance. There are members of the public present this morning. If there are members of the public that would like to address the committee, please use the hand raise icon or press star 9 and I will unmute you. And I'm seeing no hands, Chair.
Okay, great. All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody. I am going to adjourn the meeting at 10:42. Our next meeting is on November 21st at 9:30. Thank you and have a great week. Bye-bye. Yes, no.